Gavrilik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Well, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wow, wee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Hello and welcome to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast, and this is the most exciting time of the year. We are 24 hours out. I've got two of the greatest writers in Herald Sun football history with me. Sam Landsberger, welcome.
Thank you, Scotland.
Chris Kavanagh.
Thanks, Scotty. Yeah, just filling in for Glenn McFarlane.
Oh, mate, there's no filling in. It's big guns. Round one starts.
We drop Macca, let's be honest.
Oh, well.
I'll try and chew up a little less airtime than he normally does, but we'll see how we go.
And a cheerio to Will Hogan. We'd sacked him as well. So we're all good. We're ready to go now. Talk to me. Bulldogs v Melbourne. Sammy, you and I, we do have an allegiance, which we hide better than some.
We do.
How do you feel, my friend?
We've cut the white out of the allegiance. We've tipped the Demons, I think, both of us.
Oh, no, I didn't want to tell anyone, even though it's going in the paper.
alarm bells. Not so big picture, but I think for this game, Melbourne looks a little bit further advanced. They've got half the back line missing, though, from the grand final team. So no Hibbert.
I like that.
No Trent Rivers. No Harrison Petty.
Harry Petty.
Ooh, so there's a few different faces down there.
Now, Kev, you're Australia's greatest tipster. You've taken over my role. Can you believe that? He's come in and he keeps winning.
I'm in the presence of greatness with two of the best ever.
Haven't been quite so good the last couple of years, Scotty.
Don't mention that out.
So give us the icebreaker. Melbourne, Footscray, what are you thinking, my friend?
Yeah, I mean, you can't go past the D's after what they did in the grand final last year.
Can't go past the D's.
Can you?
Yeah. I'm only concerned.
Where's the upside for the Bulldogs?
Where's the upside? He's got us finished last. The upside is...
Well, when Lachie Hunter can't get a game...
Well, we need to discuss that right now.
It's selection. It's a good 23.
Tip is that Lachie Hunter, who plays the wing as good as anyone has at Footscray for 6-7 years, why is he not playing?
Yep. Clocks up 16K game, works his backside off. Premiership player. Best and fairest player, I think. Former vice captain. Staggered, to be honest. Obviously, I think he's had a nice big summer personally. I think he got married recently.
So that's the key. Don't get married.
Well,
is that what we're saying here to words our loyal fans out there?
Words that I've currently lived by very happily. it's been an exciting summer for Lockie. Last year, Jason Johannesson started out of the team, forced his way in, but stayed on the fringe. Was a sub in many games, including a final. Mitch Wallace fell out after round two and was barely seen again. I don't think Lachie Hunter's going to be Mitch Wallace.
No,
I think he's going to be Jason Johannesson back pretty soon.
Okay.
Does the forward line worry you for the Bulldogs?
Worry? The best player since Wayne Carey's there.
Norton's better than Carey. No, I'm only joking.
Look, obviously
no, Josh Bruce.
Look, we understand that. Jamar is not ready, and I believe he had a good preseason. He talked it up.
This is good mail for
me. There was a little bit of COVID, I think, snuck in, and that's why... He was below par in the reserves match and then didn't play the proper
Amy game.
So I think he'll be okay and, ease back into the season.
So what do they do? So no Bruce. Tim English and Mitch Hannon are probably the targets.
Tim English plays well. Well, Mitch Wallace, I don't think. I mean, not logic, but you'd think he would be in the running. But I think he needs a few injuries to get a game. I don't see him being in the
running. You come up against Melbourne with three defenders missing, but the ones that aren't missing are Stephen May and Jake Lever, and that
Christian
hurts.
Salem.
Christian Salem as well.
Well, let's look what happened in the granny. Shacky played defensive forward in the prelim. It was amazing against Lira. He did it in the grand final, but is he at the other end? He has all preseason and been a key back.
His first game in defence was against Melbourne in round 17 or 18 at the G in front of zero fans. And the Dogs lost Alex Keith in the first 5 minutes. Shacky played back and the Dogs won that game quite relatively comfortably. For me, the most fascinating part of this game is the stewing hatred between the players.
Mm. Well, give me some insight. Now, Kev, they don't like the song. Can you decipher... Everyone's been asked about this song.
Sam was playing it in the office this morning, actually.
I know. The Bulldogs have it first. Are they legitimately miffed? There is an edge between these teams.
The Dogs sang it every week.
Correct.
This wasn't a token one-off. We won a prelim. They partied to this song in the locker room every week. It was a bit of a tradition. I think they had Earth, Wind, Fire in 2016. Yeah, that was so, the sort of the track of choice.
Yeah. So Melbourne. So you're suggesting it's a bit tradition. Of a beat up.
It's a tradition by the Dogs.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think some of their players just weren't impressed when the Melbourne boys took great joy in singing it over and over and over again. Simon Goodwin has very fairly pointed out that the Australian T20 players sang it after they won the World Cup. Liverpool, I think, sang it as well when they got some silverware.
Yeah, no, it's not the first time. We agree with
so
that.
So it's not the dog song. They don't own...
No, of course not.
Free from
but
desire.
Maybe singing it at a nightclub overlooking the Bulldogs.
That would...
May have rattled a few
feathers. That would spark emotions, you would suggest.
So, I mean, I like it. There's a clear edge. Because they're two teams that are coming together at the same profile. So, Kev... You say where we're going to improve, but they're young.
Yep.
Like Bontempelli, Norton's only going to get better. Same with Petrarca and Oliver. They're young. They're in the right games played. That's why I think it's so even in this sense.
This will be the fifth time they've played each other in a year. So preseason last year, twice in home and away, grand final in round one. That's a lot of minutes to be bashing each other up as well. I couldn't agree more. I think these are going to be the next two superpowers, and it's great for the competition. Let's hammer it up. What a rival! How good's that for the sport?
Yeah, I'm not saying the Bulldogs don't have upside. I'm just saying Melbourne's was clearly ahead of them at the end of last year, and I'm not sure that the Bulldogs have quite made that up.
Clearly, Kev, 19-minute mark, we were 19 points up. They did have a very special 40 minutes.
Bailey Fritch ain't going to kick six again, is he?
No, he's not going to touch it. Anyway, we'll put our bias behind.
Bulldog show.
Okay, so the first game, we're all Melbourne. I'll say that very quietly. Now, we'll preview the next bit. Carlton and Richmond. Normally, it kicks off the season. I like that it's second up. Are we happy with this grand final? No.
I hate this. Hate it.
Hate.
So Gary Pert put the call into the AFL at 8:30 a.m. the day after last year's grand final.
Says I want to do it.
And said, our fans missed out on this. Give us a round one grand final rematch at the G.
Hate.
And Carlton Richmond already locked in, so the AFL manoeuvred this game to the front of the queue on a Wednesday. But they tried this about 10 years ago by starting the game with the grand final rematch, and it didn't work because the two teams were a month behind everyone. They weren't ready. It was a bit of an anti-climax of a game. I can see the merit in this one because the Melbourne fans missed out, and they want to see the flag unfurled against the same opposition and whatnot. But, yeah, one off for me. Back to...
Where do you sit, Kev?
Not sure I like next year. I'm not sure Wednesday night footy is going to take off, but
no, it's a one offer. I agree with that.
I don't mind the bang, bang, bang start the season Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night.
Okay. Well, speaking of Thursday, so Carlton and Richmond. For once, I touch wood. We obviously give it overs and we pump Carlton up saying they're going to be competitive. They haven't been for, the stats, Kev.
11 in a row against the Tigers.
11 in a row.
2013 elimination final where Nick Dygan kicked four goals.
And Chris Judd, I think, had a handy game for the Blues.
Nick Dygan? Anyway, yeah. And they haven't been entertaining affairs. Now, I wished Sam Walsh was playing, but I still think Carlton, I'm big reps for Carlton this year. Yep. What do we think is happening? Because I've jumped on the Richmond train. I'm leading the... 12-1, I've been nibbling at it. I said it last week. I keep telling everyone.
12 is overs by a big
one. It won't be there on about 11 o'clock Thursday night. The 12s won't be there. Because I think Richmond will go, remember us? What do we think? Carlton are as best prepared they're ever going to be to make this a contest.
Yeah, they're as well prepared as I have been for 8 or 9 years to beat Richmond in this game. But, yeah, the Tigers are looking pretty good as well, and Sam Walsh doesn't help.
So you've got Carlton at full steam minus Sam Walsh, Richmond with Vlostone out, Graham out, Grimes question mark.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's balancing a little bit.
My goodness, not to take the glass half empty approach, but wow, it wouldn't look good for the Blues if they can't get close again.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, they got the fairy tale story of Sam Docherty. I mean, how amazing is that?
That is incredible.
So Michael Voss, first time he met him was in a park bench. I think it was early October. He just got the gig. He did the right thing, mate. And he was in the middle of therapy, chemo. And he said, the one thing he said to him, I want to play round one. And, Vossy, what did you do? Yeah, mate, no worries. Walked away going, oh, no, we're not worried about that. We just want him to get back. Here he is.
12 weeks of chemo when he plays round one. That is just...
It's a great call, great impetus. But then there's a lot of feel-good stories. Cripps, I didn't see that game, but what did he kick? 4 and 30.
Kicked 4.
Bandages off, most of them.
Yeah, looked as fit as he's been in a long time. He was sensational in that game.
Kerno, I'm a bit disappointed I haven't seen him, but apparently he's alive and he is going to play. Like, he's never played any practice matches ever.
Underdone, and Harry McKay is underdone as well, but they think they're both going to be ready to go. Yeah.
The back line, so no Liam Jones, but...
McGovern.
I like this. I mean, it's sad it takes this while to figure it out, but I think he'll be not as good as his brother, but you can see why he's going to make it work.
Uses it well.
Some very positive signs with his intercept marking in that game against Melbourne in the Amy series.
And then Chera, Hewitt. So we're happy with the bigger bodies around the ball.
Matt Kennedy in that Amy game was, that was the best game I've seen him play.
We're calling a second coming of Matthew Kennedy.
So you put that around Hewitt and Chera and Cripps. That's a good contested.
Got some serious midfield depth.
Great.
And tell me these no-name little midgets in the forward line. The pressure. This is the new Vossi pressure.
Owies, Durden.
Who are these people?
Josh Honey. Yeah.
Jack Martin's got a bit of a name, but he fits into there as well.
It's time he delivered. But this is a new little look we're going to see.
Adam Saad, a halfback. I mean, they've got the new... Carlton's actually going to be quite a bit younger than last year. They're going to be younger than last year. They've lost Mark Murphy, Eddie Betts. Levi Casbolt's gone to the Gold Coast. So their age profile actually gets younger. But that nucleus just gets a year older together. And that should make them a better team.
Okay, give me some tips. I'm Richmond because of financially I've invested and I'm now in love with them again.
I'm Richmond because you're the best tipster, so I'll follow you in.
I'm going Richmond, but not with a great deal of confidence, as I say. I think the other interesting thing with that game is David Teague, now Richmond assistant coach.
Forward line coach.
Yeah, forward line coach, and they've got the new look forward line at the Tigers. Bolter.
We do like that. That's serious X factor.
So I think they're very happy with him down there at Pump Road.
It's a big forward line. I mean, Lynch, Rewald, Soldo and Nankervis resting, and Bolter.
Yeah.
Four bigs. That is...
They won all their flags being small.
Well, yeah, in 17 it was Jack and the midgets.
It's certainly a twist.
But Bolter's shown a lot over pre-season, and the ruckman in Soldo and Nankervis can both... go down there and kick a goal as well.
They're good kicks. I mean, it sort of Nank's deadly straight and Soldo, it's uncanny, but it gets the job done.
Yep, he's got better.
Which is good, boys. All right, we're all Richmond. Now we'll come back after the break and we'll digest the rest of the key matchups on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. Welcome back to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. I have Sam Leesberger and Chris Kavanagh. Now we've done the first two big games, we've sorted that out. Geelong v Essendon. No, whoever typed this has done this wrong. It's Collingwood v St Kilda on Friday night.
Hello to Will Hogan.
Hell, this is why we got rid of the great man. Now, this intrigues me massively. I'm a big Collingwood new coach Spike DeGoey will dominate, man. And a lot of people are on this St Kilda doom and gloom train, aren't they? Already, it seems. So what happens on Friday night? It's going to be massive.
Probably the most fascinating game of the round for me in terms
of. You really said game of the round.
No, it's not game of the round. It's the most fascinating in terms of, I don't think we've got a great read on these two teams. St Kilda thinks they're a top 8 team. There's no doubt about that.
They have to be.
Probably been their problem.
Collingwood, I think, most expect to be towards the bottom. They did finish 17th last year. They get Taylor Adams back, Quainer back.
A lot of talent still.
They're going to be.
I like Buck said, and I know he doesn't have to. He's got sacked. He's a former. He's still got an affinity there, but if they're all fit, and I know that's the same with a lot of clubs, but there is.
He thinks they'll be pushing for that.
Yeah, I think top 8 got spot. The talent.
I mean, that's no doubt where they. When he was in coach, that was the plan. I mean, I remember speaking to Scott Pendlebury probably 6-7 games into last year. It clearly wasn't going to plan. But his attitude was, no, well, we're not going to tear it up and start again and play kids. We've got a team that can beat just about anyone.
They look good under new coach Craig McRae in the preseason.
There has to be a spike, doesn't it? Really?
Just the way they were moving the ball in those practice matches and their forward line was functioning well. And Lipinski, Justin Lepage there
Lipinski
too.
Is a good pickup.
He will be a very good recruit,
Skillful, got leg speed. Unlucky to not be part of the Dogs. Now, Nick Dacos talked to me. I haven't laid eyes on the Macedonian Marvel son.
Time to.
But he's the second coming, by all reports, of everyone. He's that good?
He was almost their leading disposal winner against the Hawks.
He's a bit taller than his brother, am I right? So play more
similar size, plays a bit more inside than his brother.
Mid, yeah.
I think he could be the in the terms of AFL players, he could be the youngest or the fastest player to get tagged. Excuse me there. I think clubs could really put some work into him real early. Yeah, he's that damaging.
I think there's a guy at North Melbourne called Jason Horne Francis.
That's a fair call. There might be
challenge him for that.
It might be a dead heat.
He'll play more forward initially, won't he? Whereas Dacos is a pure mid to start. Is that my read of those two?
I think so. Dacos maybe even sort of half back as well. Horne Francis definitely forward. David Noble doesn't want, you know, that teenage body smashing in at stoppages all year. So he'll definitely play forward.
That might change when, hang on, the game's on the line. We need the Horn. Put him in there. Get it done. So we digress. St Kilda, the key to them, to me, Rowan Marshall. He plays completely different team. He doesn't play like last year. They're average. Well, him and Paddy Ryder play
together.
Especially
with Paddy out.
Now, Paddy's out again. Tell me something about the Saints to get me excited. I mean, other than Ben King. One of the Kings.
It's not. Max is there. It's Max. Ben won't be there for a while. It is doom and gloom. I mean, Jack Billings is injured. Hunter Clark is injured.
Caulfield.
Jack Bytel. It's...
Hanbury still can't get on the park.
No. They're limping into round one, and it's a Friday night stage against
at least
Collingwood,
it's at Marvel,
who loves
which
that.
Will help them, but
I spoke to a very learned St Kilda person yesterday who just thought, "Oh no, blockbuster doesn't suit us." Friday night lights. Been a long time since the Saints delivered under such pressure. Now whether that plays a factor, I'm not sure, but there was a bit of trepidation.
I spoke to a few St Kilda supporters last weekend too that aren't particularly confident coming into the year.
So what are we on, three Magpies here? I think they're the outsiders.
I want to go against everything I've just said and tip. I've tipped the Saints, but it's a danger game.
Saints just.
You two just change your tune. It's amazing. Okay, now Saturday afternoon. It's 2:00. It's real time.
It's the country proper game played in the middle of Melbourne.
Geelong v Essendon. I know, I've never quite figured that out. Geelong v Essendon. They bring sheep and it's really exciting. Cats, once again, everyone, they're going to fall. They're not going to fall. Jeremy Cameron is going to go berserk and Tom Hawkins is a star. So I won't hear of the fall. Essendon had an amazing season when you think about it.
They really did.
They're the ones I'm worried. Not worried, but I don't think they're going to get to the level. Am I harsh here? Peter Wright as your key forward worries me.
Yep.
Some kid from the suburbs is going to be the second coming.
No, Baldwin. Kane Baldwin.
Yeah. Apparently, that's what I was hearing on one of those many shows I saw the other night.
No Cale Hooker, no Anthony McDonald, Tip Moody at the
Jake
moment.
Jake Stringer's
underdone.
Question mark over.
Dylan Shields unseen. He's at leadership courses.
Michael Hurley's future, obviously, after that shocking injury.
Am I just dooming too much on the Bombers compared? Talk to me, you gentlemen. Where are you at with Essendon?
I think they're a happy club. I think that was what permanent at the end of last year. And that was a big shift from 2020.
Okay.
So I think the intangibles go their way.
I think they've got a good midfield. I think Jai Caldwell will be a good player this year.
He'll be their best player in a couple of years.
Ben Hobbs coming in. There was a lot of clubs interested in Ben Hobbs in the draft last year.
He's going to play in round one.
He's their first pick. He's their next Joe Watson. So
Hobbsy.
They've just loaded up on midfielders. They're a little bit light at either end, perhaps.
Yep.
But they've got a deep midfield. A little bit like the Bulldogs in Melbourne, sort of how they went about their list builds.
You'd remember Peter Wright kicking 7 goals against the Bulldogs last year.
I don't. I erased those. So I was probably somewhere else.
He needs to rip.
He did play against Josh Shackey on one leg, I believe.
Oh, disappoints.
But only 29 goals for the season, so...
Didn't take a mark in the elimination final, Peter Wright.
22 goals from his other 20 games.
All right, so are we believing the Cats at least will start promisingly before this alleged fall from grace, or are we going with Essendon?
No, the Cats in the country game, given they're a country team at the MCG.
You've got to let that go, you know you do.
Yeah, the Cats, but I wouldn't rule out Essendon.
Okay. Cats for me. Now, the buddy game. We can give a little insight here. I was supposed to write a big feature about this game, but he can't kick the 1,000 this week. So he can't kick 5. Was it 5 to
equal? 5 to get there.
Yep.
He's not allowed to do it, or else all my wonderful interviews are in trouble.
So you need to just, Sam Taylor and massage before the game or something. Just really.
So this is a GWS home game. Both these teams are, a lot of people are on Sydney and excited about them this year. But then the punters say GWS have had a good summer. Coniglio's rejuvenated. Where are you at with these two?
Well, they played a great elimination final last year. Oh, it was amazing that Sydney was out in the first week. They looked a top four team for most of last year. Yep. So I do like them. No Toby Green. I mean, he's their best player.
No Papley for Sydney, which is sort of half balances.
Yeah.
I mean, I know. It's not as big, but it's pretty.
Let's be honest. It's, you know, it's the battle of the bridge, but it's the buddy show. I mean, will he get there?
Well,
all
get
eyes
it?
Are
Tell
on
me.
Him.
Yes. So, or no?
Well, no, not round one. I think you're safe.
Yeah. Good.
Well, he kicked 3-1 on Taylor in that elimination final last year, and in the other two games against GWS, he kicked 4-5. So,
how about the stats from him?
That's why we brought him in. You know, so I fly without stats.
He's a chance, but I'm not sure that he gets it.
And another great story, Colac's own, Paddy McCartney. It looks like he's going to get picked, isn't he? He's dominated centre-half back all year.
It's
pre-season, I mean.
It's a different story to Sam Docherty. It's not the same.
Oh, no, of course.
But it's an amazing comeback as well, given how scary that was with what he went through. It's, how many concussions was it?
Dozens, but then there was... It was a period, I don't know, a couple of years or 18 months where he couldn't go outside. Yeah, darkness had to be, like, all that stuff was going, let alone running, exertion, and now playing. And I saw a little bit of the practice match. Defence might be the key. That I don't know why. You've got less prone to get concussion defence. That's a silly statement, but he looked comfortable because he's a great mark of the footy.
Guess you're behind players, aren't you, in defence? You're not having people crash into you from the back.
But so who's the tip here then? I've gone Sydney. But I worry about this game.
I've gone to Sydney with a degree of confidence. And I think Will Pekoski would love to see Paddy enjoy a healthy year as well. Oh, going through some battles of his own.
Yeah, Sydney for me.
Sydney for now, Saturday night, this is a great game in a sense that Brisbane and Port Adelaide in Brisbane, we think both these teams will be top 4 or 5. My mail is Port don't go well up there, so I think we're all probably gravitating towards Brisbane because it's their home game.
Circa 2002, 3, 4.
Charlie Dixon.
They've made the Gabba a real fortress in the last few years, haven't they?
Until September.
Yes, that's a good point. They just lose everything. Do we agree these two are going to be around the mark? So it's just.
Have we all got them top four?
I've got both of them top four.
I've dropped Brisbane down a bit.
I've dropped Port Adelaide down a bit. Oh. And kept Brisbane, I think.
I feel Brisbane.
I might be wrong, though. I did them in December.
Brisbane, yeah, they had golden opportunities. You know, 2 years ago, the whole comp was there. It was handed on a platter. Couldn't get there. Last year, again, they got a rails run, couldn't do it. Sometimes, you know, you climb the mountain, hip good out. Is it? Hipwood's do you get where I'm going with this?
Yeah, there's a bit of pressure on Joe, isn't there?
There's a little bit more. The stakes are like, hang on, you had a couple of free hits. This
Lockie Neal sort of, you know, umming and ahhing.
What do you think, Kev? Are you in or out on the Lions?
Oh, I think just on the basis of their Gabba games, they're going to get there. But, I think there is some pressure on them, as you say, to finally deliver and do something in September.
Why Port? What's wrong? What's Kenny done? Mate Kenny done to you?
Well, he's lost Michael Voss.
Oh, you think he was the key to the
whole
thing?
The secret weapon? No, I think Port Adelaide. I really do wonder, and we won't know for some time, what impact mentally that preliminary final will have.
Well, that was just one of the great games of football I've watched.
It is still hard to wrap your head around.
It was annihilation, wasn't it?
It really was. I mean, it was sort of, you know, it was over as a contest ridiculously early.
So you're thinking the scars might live and it might hurt them, take them a while to get going.
It was, it was as one-sided a final as you would see, and it was just totally the way you wouldn't have expected. I think they've built this DNA of having big bodies around the ball, lots of stoppages, Wines, Boak. That's been their DNA for some time. It hasn't got them there. I look forward to seeing what they do differently this year to try and take that next step.
I'm on Brisbane, you're on Brisbane. We're all on Brisbane.
I'm on Brisbane.
Yep.
Now, I love the AFL. They've loaded up the first 4 days of round one.
Festival of football.
Sunday, they sort of shuffled.
Buried a few games back there, haven't they?
But intriguing. I mean, I'm not downplaying it. Hawthorn and North. It's intriguing in the sense that one of these teams is going to struggle badly and one might not struggle as much. So to get a win early in round one is pretty bloody important.
Well, and you know you're not going to win many games.
Correct.
Yep. And you can see a winnable game, you don't want to let it slip.
So we have Sam Mitchell, Clarko Shadow, tried to get rid of most of his players, now stayed. Preseason form, iffy.
Pretty poor.
You got North. yeah, we're going to get better, Okay. Smashed by Melbourne in the practice match. Better after that. Didn't exactly turn the eyes either. What are we going to do here?
Well, that's the thing. I mean
the Horn's going to be the highlight.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Hawthorn actually finished last year really well. So Mitchell does have a bit to live up to in that regard, doesn't he?
They really do. I mean, I'd sort of forgotten about that.
Yeah.
They kept winning when
after Clarke was gone, they went on this rampage.
They drew with Melbourne, didn't they? So
they did, and they drew with the Tigers, I think, in the last game.
Yeah.
So what do we think? I mean, Brute Gunston back, tick.
Sicily's back.
Has to be back.
Yep.
So I think still Hawthorn have got enough talent, but it'll be interesting to see, is there a change in game plan? Is there people played it? So the Mitchell era, the microscope will be on him, and then David Noble needs to be showing us something. You know, second year, exciting new kids, what do you got?
Well, Horn Francis will be the one.
You love him, don't you? I get that. So, I mean, you're smiling.
I know.
I've seen him.
It's a crush.
Saw him at a couple of intra-club games at Arden Street, and he took a massive specky the other week. He kicked goals. Yeah, he took
a
big specky.
He's got that.
He's AFL ready body.
Sort of body or something.
That's the difference. I mean, you can play some footy over there before you come in. It makes a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And he just racks it up in the midfield. Yeah.
So what do we think, gentlemen?
I'm with the Cav and on the Hornet and going with the Roos.
Okay, excellent. Now, Adelaide v Fremantle in Adelaide, 4:10 Sunday. You'll probably be on the couch doing other things. Adelaide started well last year, to be fair to them. But I'm a bit bullish on Freo. Fife back in the middle, had his hair cut like that. If Freo are going to be as good as I think, I know. Luckily, this is radio and people can't see me. If Freo are going to be legit, they have to win this. But they could easily not win it. There you go. That's if that makes sense.
Well, then they're playing the spoon contenders, aren't they? In the Crows, I'd say
no Tex Walker.
Yeah, Tex from 5 weeks. Yeah,
we're happy with Freo.
Yep.
You got a stat for me, Kev? No, you haven't even bothered.
No stats for that one.
Wow.
I'll give you a stat. West Coast won't have 21 players. How many players do you
need? I think you need 23 these days.
They'll be lucky to have 23 on the pitch
against Gold Coast.
Who it's a free hit for Gold Coast, or it's Stuart Jew's worst nightmare if he loses this game. I know it's in Perth. If he loses to this makeshift team, they've lost what? Tim Kelly's got COVID. Liam Ryan's been in isolation. Nick Nat's been in isolation.
Darling's been Oscar Allen won't play.
Darling's who knows what's going on there.
Yeah, Oscar Allen.
So they're playing. Let's be honest. They're playing a waffle team.
They got 20 something out.
A lot of people think the Suns are sort of like a state league standard team, and they're playing a waffle team.
Fair head to head there.
So here we go.
The Suns have actually looked okay in preseason.
They were really impressive against
Geelong.
Cats didn't try.
No, they didn't.
Not.
They didn't want to be there.
But they were.
But you can only play the opposition that's out there.
Matthew Rowell, I was very interested in our good friend Wreck-It Ralph's article because the gloss went off him last year.
Bit of OP.
OP, there you go. He's looked better in the preseason. I think they have to win. Are we all in agreement?
I've gone the Suns.
Have to win and should win.
I'm looking at odds here. This can't be right. They were like $4. That can't be right.
Better.
Okay, that can't be
$1.90
right.
$1.90 each way at the
They're
moment.
They're into about $2. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so there's our tips, ladies and gentlemen. It's an exciting round one. Now, after the break, I'm going to throw a few curly ones at my boys here. Stay tuned for the next segment of Herald Sun Footy Podcast. Welcome back to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. All right, guys, the tips are done, but we've got to get a bit of super coach love happening. Kev, you're a genius at this stuff as well. The draftees, we've talked about the Horn and Nick Dacos. Are they going to? Is that going to be in everyone's super coach team? I've got one.
You have rocks in your head if you didn't have both of them in your team starting.
They'll be
X-y,
though, won't they? X-y. He's trying to get the little cheap rookies.
Sometimes you got to spend money to make money.
But Gipkiss from Richmond's going to play round one. Gipkiss, and they rave about him.
Again,
is he going to be a high scorer? But
probably not.
Probably not.
But he'll be cheap.
Who else are the kids we need to be looking out for, Kev?
Oh, the other ones are obviously Josh Ward at Hawthorn, midfielder, wins plenty of it.
Will he play Sunday?
You'd think so. He played both the preseason games. I can't see why he wouldn't play in that Hawks team at the moment. Josh Rochelle from Adelaide, another one to look out for.
They could have 10. I wouldn't even know that.
Hey, he has a nice
small forward, plenty of talent.
Ooh. Yeah, ooh. I think he's just
got out of your seat then.
You're no. I've just been told he's quite a specimen.
Okay.
And Josh Sinn's probably the other one if he gets a game at Port Adelaide early, which he might.
Ooh, yeah,
might. Outside midfielder, he should win a fair bit of it as well.
Anyone, any of the big teams, the Dogs, no new ones, Melbourne, not really. Cats might play Dylan Stevens.
Cooper Stevens.
That's interesting. But our advice is Dacos and the Horn. That's what we're saying.
Get them in, coach teams. Get them in.
Recruits of the season. Now, I had to do this. We all had to do it in December for our many magazines. And I went with our man Tim O'Brien from Hawthorn to come to the Bulldogs and be the intercept marking sensation. He hasn't played anything in the preseason because he's injured. Who's going to be the best recruit of the year?
I've got George Hewitt from Carlton.
Yeah, that's not bad. Doesn't have to tag anymore, or can tag if he has to.
His clearance game, he's only 26 years old too. He's still relatively 26? Young.
He behaves like an older gentleman.
Yeah, and bring a bit of that Bloods culture down to the Blues would help. But yeah, it just adds enormous depth to their midfield, wins a contested ball.
Okay,
he's going to be a good pickup.
Chera's going to be pretty good in that midfield, you think?
Absolutely, yeah.
Who else, Sammy? There weren't exactly a lot of changing of
look, I think persons. The Cav has nailed it. I think Hewitt will be a very underrated pickup.
Yes.
I think Tyson Stengel will have a nice impact at the Cattery. A lot of talent there. I think he's
Didn't touch it against Gold Coast, but before that he was good.
Linked back up with Eddie Betts. I think he played with at Adelaide, good mates.
Yeah,
Hugh Greenwood at North Melbourne, and just that decision which boggled the mind. How the Gold Coast let him go. So I think there's a few names there. But I actually like what the Cavs said about Georgie Hewitt.
Will Brody's probably the other one if you're looking for a cheapian super coach.
Where's he ended up?
Gone to Fremantle. Former top 10 pick to the Gold Coast. They're very
went to Fremantle.
Very happy with him over there at the Dockers. So I think he'll play a good role down in defence for him.
That I would find fascinating. If a top 10 pick from the Gold Coast just shines elsewhere.
Yes.
It would be some question marks asked about what has happened at his first club.
The Dockers effectively got him for a fourth rounder a few years later too. So
pick 10 for pick 62 minus a couple of years.
Thereabouts.
That's good business.
What about Sammy Prakesti-Seaton?
SBS.
Is he alive over at West Coast? Was he injured and not playing either? Because he'd be a great pick. He's got talent, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, so does Lipinski as well.
Yes.
Lipinski would be a good pickup.
He can play well. All right, that's very good now.
Jordan Clark.
He'll be very good.
Mm, Fremantle, another docker.
Don't you forget what went on 6 months ago.
Bits happened since.
A little bit happened.
We've been covering 5-set Australian Open finals. Oh. Cav wasn't there, but that's all right.
Cav was stuck in transit, which we will investigate at another podcast.
Thanks again for the ticket.
Yeah, no worries.
Now, we had a wonderful story in our papers about the coaches survey, mental health of coaches. Now, I agree, the soft cap. We won't get in too much into this because it's sort of not our area. It's more Wreck-It Ralph and those types. But less money to spend on coaches. There's assistant coaches doing far more work on less money. I don't understand that. And that's causing stress, which I see.
I think it's across the whole football department too. Yeah. It's not even just the senior coaches and assistants. It's the recruiting teams. It's the medical staff. Everyone's doing more for less.
It's an issue. I mean, I think at the Bulldogs today they trained and the property steward was acting like sort of as an assistant coach on the field. And it's just like, how far can we stretch these guys? We've lost, the game has lost so many good footy people.
Yeah.
And now the ones that are left are getting burned out. It's not healthy.
No.
The only argument they have to be careful of, and I have raised this before, is when the senior coaches are out there who are on $800-900 million saying, we're having a few bad days. The general public goes, mate, I'm battling to put food on my table. So that's the balance they have to, they can't bang on too much about poor us.
Yeah,
that's the only issue.
I'm more worried about the people that have lost their jobs or that are fighting to hang on and working 150% of what they're being paid to do.
There's a lot of people in footy departments that took 20% pay cuts too that haven't got it back this year even, so.
No, that's something Gil, and he says he's going to work on a lot of things this year at his address. He listed. He said, I haven't worked anything out yet, but one of them, AFLW, August start date.
Don't like it.
Well, you want to wait 18 months?
Oh, I just think like season to season to season, one after the other, women's, men's, women's. Oh, we talk about the stretch of resources. Where were you finding umpires from for that, for an August time slot, for example?
That's a very good point. But summer didn't work, so it was universally agreed, scrap it. So then what are you going to do? You're going to wait 18 months?
I like the idea of August.
Well, they're saying, Gil's saying, you want to get it rolling, you're getting all these clubs in.
Yeah, 18 teams as well, ooh, big risk.
It's a big risk with the standard, I agree with
this
that.
This season has got lost a bit in the Australian Open, the cricket.
Yeah.
The Ashes.
And, you know, there was plenty going on around the Australian Open with Djokovic and co, so.
Were you there?
Yeah. How do you know about that?
I missed that one.
You're in a different part of the world. All right, so no August. You don't like it. Kev, I don't think there's any other alternative. I think, yeah, they've just got to suck it up to a degree.
The idea of starting on that mid-finals, the pre-finals bye weekend is a good one because that is a flat weekend. Yeah. That's a good way to launch, but I'm not sure that it works practically for other reasons.
All right, but there's finals this weekend. We've got North v Freo at Arden Street. Kangaroos have got a lot of talent. They bought talent a couple of years ago.
They were meant to play off, weren't they, when the pandemic started for the grand final, I think.
This is good info.
That's a good point, yeah.
So at least one of them will go through.
So Adelaide and Melbourne have got the bye because they've had amazing seasons. And the other final is Brisbane v Collingwood. Brisbane just wins every year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Collingwood was supposed to be a big tip, but they've had injuries this year, but they've snuck into the finals. Chloe Malloy is one of the best players going around.
She's fantastic to watch and to speak to.
All right, who are our chips? I'm going North and Brisbane, unfortunately.
Same here.
It's a complete set, North and Brisbane. Well,
it's a good way to end.
The teams that finish higher on the ladder.
Yeah, well, see, this is why he's a tipping genius.
Jeez, is that how you got to the top of the chart? Just by going for the higher-ranked team?
Not always.
It's Bruce Matthews. Welcome, Bruce Matthews. All right, gentlemen, you have been outstanding. Thank you, one and all. That was the Herald Sun Footy podcast for round one. We are all very excited. Stay tuned, keep listening. We'll be back next week.